Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we are going to discuss this particular hot topic. Very hot topic in the recent past. I don't know if that's actually a correct phrase. a recent hot topic. Christians and the Old Testament. There's been a lot of talk lately because a very well-known pastor has come out and made some comments, actually preached a sermon, where, well, there's a lot of controversy. Christians in the Old Testament, I mean, as Christians who are living under the new covenant in Christ, what do we do with the Old Testament? Is the Old Testament still relevant to us? Is this Old Testament still valid? Do we need to be studying the Old Testament? Do we need to be obeying things from the Old Testament? What do we do as Christians when it comes to the Old Testament? Well, it's real simple. We do what Christ did, right? And what did Christ do when it came to the Old Testament? After Christ was raised from the dead. Well, we see in Luke 24, he said to his disciples about what had happened to him. These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all the things written about me and the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. So what did Jesus say about the Old Testament? Everything that was written about him in the Old Testament was fulfilled. What did Jesus think of the Old Testament? And then he went on to preach to his disciples. Then he opened their minds, verse 45, to understand the Scriptures. What did Jesus think about the Old Testament? What did Christ think about the Old Testament? What should Christians think about the Old Testament? In fact, same chapter, chapter 24, when Jesus appeared to some disciples on the road to Emmaus, he said to them, oh, verse 25, foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, i.e. the Old Testament, Jesus explained to them, expounded to them the things concerning himself in all the Scriptures. What did Jesus preach? Old Testament. And again, this was after the resurrection, right? Well, if Jesus preached the Old Testament, if Jesus pointed his disciples back to the Old Testament, what should we as Christians think about the Old Testament? Still valid. It's God's holy word, right? And again, some people will say, well, yeah, but this is before the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. This is before churches were planted. Okay, okay, I get it. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. What did the Apostle Paul, think about the Old Testament? 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writing to a young pastor, Timothy, who was pastoring a church in Ephesus. This is after Pentecost, right? We're talking somewhere probably, well, 2 Timothy, this is while Paul was in his second Roman imprisonment, about to be beheaded by Nero. And so this is probably somewhere between 64 and 66 AD, right? But what did Paul say to Timothy about the Scriptures? Well, 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17, he says to Timothy that from childhood you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What did Paul say about the Old Testament scriptures? They're sufficient to lead people to salvation. Why is that? Verse 16. Because all scripture is inspired by God, including the Old Testament. And therefore, he says, is profitable, including the Old Testament, for teaching. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That's why Paul commanded Timothy in chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, including the Old Testament, right? Preach the word. Because at this point, you didn't yet have the collection of the New Testament writings, the New Testament letters, compiled into what we would call the Bible today, right? One book, right? Yet, Paul was saying to Timothy, a young pastor, again, after Pentecost, after churches had already been planted, preach the word. So, that would include New Testament letters, right? That were written, being circulated, preach the Holy Word, right? Inspired by the Holy Spirit through the apostles. But also preach the Holy Word, inspired by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures of the Old Testament, right? Because all Scripture is inspired by God, and all scripture is profitable. Does that make sense? We have to be very careful. When we say that the Old Testament is really, it's kind of old school. It's not really relevant for today. I'm very, very careful in saying that. There was an early church heretic, a man by the name of Marcion, who said that very thing. Marcion said that the God of the Old Testament was mean and he was vengeful, and Marcion said, that's not my God. And therefore, Marcion decided to come up with his own canon of Scripture. And in Marcion's canon of Scripture, he eliminated the entire Old Testament. How about that one? As well as New Testament writings had anything to do with the God of the Old Testament or the Jews of the Old Testament. How about that one? Listen, we as humans are in submission to God's holy word. We are under the authority of God's word. We do not stand over God's word. We do not stand in judgment of God's word. That's what Marcion tried to do. And the early church declared him a heretic. And Marcionism is heresy. And yet we see those seeds of Marcionism today. Again, when somebody says the Old Testament's not relevant, the Old Testament is old school, the Old Testament is not really something that we as believers need to be hitched to, that's very dangerous. A, because that is saying that we as humans stand up and over in judgment of God's word. That's very dangerous. And in saying those things, we are entering in, and we're on a very slippery slope where we could fall right into Marcionism. All Scripture is inspired by God. Therefore, all Scripture is sufficient to lead people to salvation and is sufficient for the sanctification of the saved. You want to know the will of God? It's in the Word of God. Not simply just the New Testament, but the Old Testament also. Oh, wait a second, Andrew. Does that mean that we have to go through all that, those same ceremonial, sacrificial things that the people in the Old Testament did? No. Well, wait, then who are you, Andrew? You're standing in judgment of God's Word. You're just a limit. No. Wait a second. Christ already fulfilled the ceremonial law, right? He offered himself once for all time as the perfect sacrifice for the sins of his people, right? So therefore, we do not have to follow those ceremonial dietary laws. But does that mean that we can't continue to follow some of the principles even from those ceremonial and dietary laws? Well, sure we can. Again, when it comes to worshiping the Lord in the Old Testament, right? I mean, think about how often or how many times God had given detail after detail after detail about how he wanted his people to offer sacrifices to him, right? Well, why did God do that? Because God was making clear to his people that we as humans do not have the right to decide how we are to worship God. That's why God gave intricate details to his people back then, right? Even in those ceremonial sacrificial offerings. Because God was saying, I am holy, and let me tell you how I desire to be worshipped and deserve to be worshipped. Well, let me ask you something. Even though Christ fulfilled the ceremonial laws, right? Can we still extract some principles from the Old Testament when it comes to how we should worship God? In other words, do we as believers today, under the new covenant, have the right to decide how God is to be worshiped? No. Do we as believers under the new covenant have the right to put in our own kind of creative elements as to how we feel God should be worshipped? No. So even though Christ fulfilled the ceremonial law, we still need the Old Testament to be able to extract principles such as how God wants to be worshipped in humility, in holiness, in spirit, and in truth. God's way, not our way. Christians in the Old Testament? Yeah, we need the Old Testament today. Let's talk more about that after the break.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Welcome back, everybody, to Hot Topics, where today, as you can see on the screen, we are talking about Christians in the Old Testament. If you were with us on the first part of the show, we talked about how there is a recent controversy that has come up about Christians in the Old Testament. A very popular preacher recently made some rather very controversial statements about the Old Testament, making it sound like that Christians can kind of be unhitched from the Old Testament because Christ has fulfilled the covenant and we're under the new covenant, and therefore kind of sounds like the Old Testament is not really valid for us today, right? Well, that's very wrong. All scripture is inspired by God. New Testament scripture, right? And Old Testament scripture. All scripture is sufficient. to lead us to salvation. That's New Testament scripture and even Old Testament scripture. All scripture is sufficient to lead believers to sanctification. As Jesus said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. That includes New Testament scriptures and Old Testament scriptures. All scripture is authoritative, right? It is God's authoritative holy word of truth. New Testament scripture, Old Testament scripture. And all scripture is necessary. Necessary, again, to lead us to salvation, to lead us to sanctification, necessary for us to know the will of God, because God has graciously revealed his will through his written word, New Testament and Old Testament. And as we discussed at the end of this first part of the show, even certain Old Testament laws, like the ceremonial law, right? Though Christ has fulfilled the ceremonial law, the sacrificial law, once for all time, and though we don't any longer need to make animal offerings and grain offerings and so forth, because Christ offered himself once for all time, right, for the salvation of his people, nevertheless, we can extract even from those ceremonial practices in the Old Testament, we can extract very valid principles for us today, such as we discussed, holiness, when it comes to worshiping God. Purity. Again, in the Old Testament, you know, you look in Exodus, you look in Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, how God kept repeating time and time again, this is how you offer grain offering. This is how you offer burnt offering. This is how you offer sin offering. And God would repeat it and give intricate details. Again, though Christ fulfilled those offerings, nevertheless, those principles of how we should be very careful when it comes to worshiping God, very prepared and holy when it comes to worshiping God, right? That we worship God the way he wants us to worship him, as revealed in his word, not the way we decide. All of those principles, again, that we see in the Old Testament when it came to worshiping God, those principles are still valid to us today. Though we don't make animal sacrifices, nevertheless, as Paul said in Romans 12, we offer spiritual acts of worship, right? Spiritual sacrifices. And we want to be holy. We want to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we want to worship God the way he desires, not the way we decide. But where do we come up with those principles? Old Testament. How about when it comes to idolatry? I mean, you see the Old Testament. You see the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, graciously set free from captivity in Egypt, graciously led into the promised land. And what do? They played the harlot, right? And they ended up conforming to the culture there in Canaan, and they ended up worshiping those pagan gods, which are no gods at all. But wait a second, we cannot take principles from back then in the Old Testament and apply it to our lives today as Christians? Of course we can. As Christians, we have been called out of the world, graciously chosen by God. So we still have to live in the world. Well, how are we supposed to live in the world? Not like the Israelites did as they conformed to the culture in Canaan. We see what happened in the Old Testament. We don't want that to happen to us, right? What about when it comes to idolatry? Well, guess what? You get too close to culture, you start playing around with culture, you're going to inevitably start to act like culture, including worshiping the myriad of cultural pagan gods. Money, power, sex, self. Well, where do we learn about Old Testament? So wait a second, we should just unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament because we're under the New Covenant? No. All Scripture is inspired by God. And again, as humans, we have no right to edit God. You imagine, you write an email or a text to somebody. And it's a very important email and text from you to somebody. And you've spent time making sure that the wording is correct because you want the message you have for that person to come to them loud and clear. Well, can you imagine after you finish that email or text that somebody else, prior to you sending that, somebody else comes in and edits your message so that when the recipient receives that edited message, it is completely different from that which you intended it to be, from that which you inspired. How would you feel? Hurt? Betrayed? Mad? How do you think God feels when we as humans attempt to edit that which he graciously inspired to us? The 66 books of the Bible, the closed canon of Scripture. Can you imagine what God thinks when he sees that we as humans decide to edit his message? I like this. Nope, I don't like that. Yeah, that one's okay. I'm going to ignore that one. Let's see. Actually, you know what? Let's do this. I like these 27 books, these 39. No, no, no. Let's unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. What? Well, then, if that's going to be our attitude, then what's going to eventually stop us from unhitching ourselves from the New Testament also? Guess what? We're left with what? Nothing. Our own ideas about God, our own theories about God, our own creation of our own God. Who do you think wants us to unhitch ourselves from the Old and even New Testament? God or Satan? Satan. We're going to fall into that trap? As born again, Bible-believing Christians, we're going to start to edit God's holy word because we feel that we know the modern world better than God does? It's as though we say, well, God, yeah, the Old Testament was good for those people back then, but we as culture have evolved, and here we are now, and, you know, and God, you probably didn't realize this when you inspired, you know, the word, you know, your word in the Old Testament, but God, we've evolved, and God, let me help you on this part here. Let me pick and choose the words from your scripture that I feel work best in this culture, in this modern culture, really. So in other words, we're experts now and God isn't. Right? God inspired his word, but God did not take into consideration that, you know, we would have internet now and we would have social media now and this, that, and the other thing. Really? No. Let me be very clear. God's word is the only timeless and transcendent word that's out there. God's word is not limited by time. God's word is not limited by language. God's word is not limited by culture. Why do you think Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 to his apostles, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. Where? Jerusalem? Just there? No, no. By the way, witnesses, how are they going to witness? The word. And at the very beginning, what was the word they were preaching? The Testament. And as they were being inspired by the Holy Spirit, the New Testament writings came into being. So Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses with my word, right? Where? Jerusalem. Where else? Judea, Samaria. Where else? Ends of the earth. What was Jesus saying? As you witness with my word, you can have confidence. Why? Because God's holy word, Old Testament, New Testament, is timeless. And it is transcendent. It is not limited by cultural boundaries, language boundaries. It's unlimited by anything. In fact, in Hebrews 4, it's pretty clear. Verse 12, the word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and it is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word is living and active. So wait a second, did the Old Testament just suddenly die and become inactive? What? I mean, that's just I mean, that's a joke. That's heresy. And again, for those who decide they want to pick and choose that which is valid today from Scripture and that which is not, I'll close with this final warning that God gave at the end of the book of Revelation through the last living apostle, John. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, God makes it very clear. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, I'm hitching from the Old Testament, God's going to take away from him, from the tree of life, and from the holy city which are written in the book. As Christians, we don't add to God's holy word, and we do not take away from God's holy word. We have 66 books in this one book, the closed canon of Scripture. Our job is to be faithful, to diligently study this word, Old Testament, New Testament, to obediently live this word, Old Testament, New Testament, and to faithfully preach this word, Old Testament, New Testament. And as Christians, we defend this word, we fight for this word, we stand up on this word. Because God has graciously given us his word. And woe to the person who decides to tamper with God's word by either adding to it or taking away from it. Well, what do Christians think about the Old Testament? We praise God for his holy word in the Old Testament and New Testament. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.